Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the reminder each year as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate his birth, that it was his birth that would lead to the cross, that would lead to the price being paid for our sins, that would lead to the gift of salvation. And Lord, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for the hope that we have as a result of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray now that as we turn to your word, our hearts and minds would be directed to what you have for us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to start out by asking you a question. And the question is simple. How are you doing? Well, we're doing. I had a Bible professor who one time we would meet once in a while, and he would ask the question, how's the inner man? And I've shared this with you before, but sometimes I wonder if we don't need to just stop and think about that for a minute. How is our spiritual being doing? We're living in some interesting times. And I have to wonder, if we're truly honest with one another, if there's some here that might say, you know what? It's been a rough year. Maybe you've had a difficult year. You've been dealing with some physical problems. I know there are some people who are in this church who have been dealing with chronic pain for months. Some who are looking to the doctors for answers, and the doctors can't find the answer. And so they continue to deal with the pain, continue to deal with the issue. For others, you know, I know there are others here who may deal with diabetes and wonder, why do I have to do this? I'm tired of checking my sugar all the time. I'm tired of this. And these are just normal complications that take place during the regular year. And then you add on top of that a pandemic. On top of that, political unrest and all the things that are going on. And I have to wonder if we're honest with ourselves, how many of us, when we ask that question to ourselves, how are we doing, can really say, I'm all right. I'm good. Because if we're not careful, and I want us to think about hope this morning. Because if we're not careful, we can allow all the media, we can allow all the things that are going on, we can allow all the difficulties in our lives and all the doctor visits and all those things to get us to a point where we're like, I'm not sure there is hope. Boy, folks, if we're there, and the reality is, Satan wants us to be there. He wants our spirits to be downcast. He wants us to spiritually be discouraged. But you know what, folks? We have a living hope this morning. Right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 would say, he has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And this is the hope that we have this morning. And this morning, if you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, I want to focus on some truths about the hope that you and I have. We'll be looking at verses 18 through 25 of Romans chapter 8 this morning. This morning we'll be looking at verses 18 through 25, and you follow along. We'll read those verses this morning. As Paul would write, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. As we look at these verses this morning, we're going to see some truths about hope. And the first truth we see in verse 18 is that hope is something that can help us look past or look beyond our current circumstances. Again, I direct your attention to verse 18 as Paul would say, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right, Paul, he talks about his current sufferings. And we all have suffered to some extent. Paul had suffered and was persecuted because of his faith. You know, from the moment that Paul interacted with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, his life would never be the same. He would have a life full of suffering. Something really we have not had to deal with when it comes to being persecuted for our faith. It's possible we may have been teased. Possible people may make fun of us. There may have been some division in family, but we've never physically been harmed for taking a stand for Jesus Christ. But within the context of this passage, I believe Paul is talking about suffering that goes beyond persecution. I believe he talks about physical suffering. I consider our present sufferings. And I believe this includes those who have suffered from cancer, those who have suffered from chronic pain. And some of you are amongst us this morning suffering with those. Others are suffering because of a broken relationship. Others are suffering because of financial needs, relational problems. You know, there could be that coworker, that boss that just gets under your skin. And think of all people to be able to say, I consider our present sufferings not worth comparing. Think about the life of Paul. I think particularly of what he writes in 2 Corinthians verses 11 through 24 through 28. And folks, I can tell you none of us can list off a list like this in ways that we have suffered. As Paul would say, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things what come upon me daily, my deep concern is for all the churches. Now, can you imagine this list on and on and on? And if you don't know, the 40 minus 1 really means he was beaten within an inch of his life. It was considered if you were given 40 lashes, you couldn't survive. And here he is. And get what he says. And I think he gets this. Looking beyond his current circumstances to the hope. Because what's he say? All of this, and what's my concern? The churches. He's not worried about all the suffering. He's not worried about all the pain he endured, how he was cold, how he's left shipwrecked. He doesn't worry all about any of that, but his concern is about God's work and the churches. And I think about that. We have a hope. We have promised in Scripture of a future beyond what this earth contains. And I believe it can help us look past our current circumstances. So whatever you're dealing with this morning, as I ask that question, how are you doing? If you're saying, life stinks right now. If we choose to look past our current circumstances to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, what a difference that can make. In a lot of ways, we understand this. And I use this example often, but it's something we all associate with. You know, Many of you are live in Florida year-round. We have a few snowbirds who try to beat the system and never deal with cold and never deal with extreme heat. So this doesn't apply to them. But you know, in August, or July and August, it's hot. In fact, I often say here in Southwest Florida, I believe that time of year, the weather people have the easiest job in the world. Because from about the end of May through first part of October, I could put up a 10-day forecast just as easy as they can. It's going to be a low of maybe in mid-70s at night, a high of about 95 during the day with a chance of rain or thunderstorm in the afternoon. In fact, I think some of the weather people actually say rinse and repeat or something along those lines when they talk about the weather in Florida. But it just, you know, day after day, sometimes the heat gets to you, and I will hear people say, I can't wait till October when that first cold front comes through. And sometimes late October. And, of course, right now we're in the middle of a heat wave in December, so who knows. But there's kind of that you can endure the heat of July and August knowing that someday that cold front's coming. Someday you're actually going to put on a jacket because it's cool in Southwest Florida. And for those who live up north, and they're here now, some of them, the same is true when it's minus 10 degrees out. They endure that knowing that in the spring and in May it's going to warm up. They do that in knowing that in the spring the leaves will bud, or the trees will bud, and the leaves will come out, and things will return to green vegetation. And how the you know, right now, if you know up north, it's not pretty. It's brown. In fact, we ate dinner last night with some people who were just in Connecticut, said they left 4 inches of snow. But often we can endure our current circumstances, what the weather gives us, looking to the next season, right? Kind of put our hope in that. And in a sense, that's what Paul is saying here. I consider our present sufferings not worth comparing. Folks, no matter how bad it may be in your life today, it cannot compare to how great it's going to be when we enter into God's presence. And if we stay focused on that, stay focused on His promise, stay focused on the day when you and I will receive a glorified body, as we do these things, we can endure and we can look past our current circumstances. We're told that when we will have a new body, a body that will be free from pain, a body that will no longer need vaccinated or no longer need a booster shot, it will be immune from cancer, it will be immune from aches, no more need for insulin. The list can go on and on. But most importantly, this new body will be free from sin. What, those temptations that plague us on a weekly basis, those temptations to speak against someone or tell someone off or to allow our temper to get the better of us, those temptations will be gone. And I believe it's as we focus on these truths, we can look past our current circumstances. But as we continue on, I believe a second truth about the hope that you and I have is that it's to be anticipated. As we look at the next few verses, as we look at verses 19 and 22, we see that creation anticipates this day. If you follow along in verse 19, we read, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans as in and labor with birth pains together until now." Interesting to listen to what Paul says here. Paul has personified creation. And he says that the creation is waiting with expectation of when the sons of God will be revealed. Folks, I believe that the creation is waiting in expectation for the second advent, when Christ will return to this earth to reign for 1,000 years, when creation itself will be liberated, as Paul would say here, from its bondage to decay and restored to how it was created. Often we don't think about it, but creation has been affected by sin. It is part of creation was involved in the curse that was given to Adam and Eve. Or we read this in Genesis 3, verses 17 and 19. When we read, "Then Adam," he said, God is speaking to Adam, "because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." But catch the part where it says, cursed is the ground. Any gardeners here? Those stinking weeds. Right? Thorns and thistles. If you look around the property too close in the landscaping here at the church, you'll see part of this curse. You can't stop them. And folks, I think even this week, you know, it's interesting what Paul says. He says creation, and he refers to it as in the pains of childbirth. It's groaning. I am sure over the next few weeks we're going to hear a lot about global warming and all the reasons why all the nasty weather took place in this hurricane or the tornado that traveled 200 miles. They're going to tell you why it's part of global warming and all this. But folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, it is just our world, our earth, groaning because of sin's curse. And it's going to continue to groan until the day that the Lord returns. And when He returns, our earth is going to be restored. It's prophesied, and Isaiah would prophesy about it in chapter 11, verse 6 through 9. And I believe this is a picture of what is to come when Christ is reigning here on earth, where He says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea." Probably the best image and description of probably close to what the Garden of Eden would have been like. Now, some people always say, "Well, how did the animals keep wild animals keep from eating Adam and Eve?" Well, right here's a description. The animals were eating straw. I believe before the curse, there may have not been carnivores. I have to be careful because I could discourage some of you because we may all be vegetarians for the 1,000 years that Christ reigns here on earth. But what an image of waiting as in the pains of birth. You know, I'm sure Paul really couldn't relate. I can't. I've never given birth. I was in the delivery room 3 times. But I think about it. How many of you women here this morning who are mothers have more than one child? A few hands are going up. Not all, but a few. Have you ever wondered why they would ever have two? And right? Because natural delivery, I've not experienced it firsthand. I can tell you my wife has an incredible grip in the midst of a labor pain. But again, it all ties in with knowing. I mean, when you decide to have child number two and number three, there's no hidden information. You know what you're going to go through. But yet, we have a testimony in several cases where it's taken place. But why? Because you know you can look past the pregnancy. You can look past the past few months where you're miserable. You can look past the delivery pains because you know that a child is on the other side. See, it's the hope of another child that makes you look past all that. You anticipate another addition to the family. And I think the same is true for us. We need to anticipate the day when we will be with our Lord and Savior forever. And there's something different about anticipating in the hope that you and I have in Jesus Christ. We can anticipate a lot of things here on earth, right? How many of you have plans to go on a vacation in the next 12 months? A few hands going up, right? My wife and I personally are anticipating a cruise in February. But how many times have you anticipated an event or a trip or travel plans only to be let down? Right? I believe there were some people who were anticipating some travel in the year 2020 and it didn't happen. Their plans got canceled. Or you anticipate the splendid vacation, and I hope this isn't the case with the cruise. But when you get there, you're like, oh, this isn't as good as I thought it would be. I remembered the food being better the last time. Oh, 7 days are over already? And really, that's the case with anything here on earth. But I think about anticipating being with God and being with Him forever. How many of you are looking forward to that? I got some hands. Let's let the people on Facebook know by responding with amen. How many are looking forward to that? All right. Now the people on Facebook are aware. So not only did it help us look past our current situation, not only is it something to be anticipated, as we look on, we move from creation to us in verses 23 and 24. As Paul continues on, and we read, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? And I think as we look through this verse, we have to have a little bit of understanding of what Paul's referring to. He says, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's making a reference to an Old Testament offering, an offering that was made in the law. And you can read about the first fruits offering in Exodus 23 and Numbers 10. But the reality is the Israelites, as part of their act of worship, they were to take their first fruits, the first part of the harvest, and they were to offer it unto God. And Dr. Constable says the following, it was an offering that the Israelites made in faith, confident that the rest of the harvest would follow. So how does this tie into we have the first fruits of the Spirit? The moment we trusted in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, we received the Holy Spirit. Now, if you put it in context of us receiving the Holy Spirit as part of the first fruits, what we have with the Holy Spirit indwelling with us is just a portion of what's to come. It's a guarantee that the harvest will come. It's a guarantee that eternal life with God is to come. And it's really almost like what Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter 1 when he talks about the Holy Spirit being an earnest or a down payment for our salvation. This first fruits is the same concept. When we experience the work and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and the strength of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it should assure us of our salvation. It assures us that what God has promised and that eternity and being in His presence forever is going to happen. It assures us that, folks, someday we're going to hear the trumpet sound. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will say, then the dead in Christ who were raised first and we who are left will be caught up in the air with them to be with the Lord forever. Another description of it in 1 Corinthians 15. Really, those are 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15 are the two passages of Scripture that deal with the rapture. And it'll be at that point that we receive that glorified body that I talked about earlier. In Philippians 3, verses 20 through 21, Paul would say the following. By the way, if you're frustrated with politics in the United States, write these verses down. I believe we're blessed to be a United States citizen, but we're more blessed with what this passage says, because it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. This is the hope that we have this morning. This is the very thing that we are to be anticipating. It'll be a day when we will be in His presence and we'll be able to say, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57, as he would say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I hope you're looking forward to that day. I hope you're anticipating the day that we will receive that new body, the day that we will be in the presence of our Lord. The last truth this morning is this hope that we have in Jesus Christ can allow us to be content in our current situation. As I say that, some of you may be thinking, oh, Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through. How in the world am I to be content? Listen to what Paul says in verse 25. As he says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And I guess I should back up to verse 24, because Paul goes through this. If we hope for what we already have, it's not hope at all, right? Who hopes for what he already sees? I'm reminded of a few years back. I mean, we moved to Florida in 2015. Didn't know we would still be here in 2021. A lot of uncertainties in our life at that time. But I can remember before 2015, we used to vacation down here. My in-laws have a home in North Fort Myers, and we'd come visit them and get out of the cold and enjoy the summer. And I can remember one day specifically, Laura and I were at Fort Myers Beach, and we're in the water. We were weird back then. We actually got in the water this time of year. And I can remember having the conversation, when we retire, someday we're going to move to Florida. We're not going to do the snowboard thing. We're just going to pack up and move. And at that time, it was a hope. Guess what? We no longer hope to live in Florida because we're here. And that's the point he makes in verse 24. We don't hope for the things we already have. You know, there are a lot of people that have the hope of someday living in America. None of you have that hope this morning because you're here. Paul would go on to say, but if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it with perseverance, or we wait for it patiently. See, we can be so confident in God's word and so confident in His promises. We had this conversation last week or the week before on one of our evening services. With God, it is as if the future has already happened. You know, we have this concept of time of this has to happen and this happened and this happened. But with God, it's already happened. And the reality is, with you and I, it is our salvation, our being in His presence. It's as if it's already happened. His Word tells us that. If you put your trust in Jesus to save you from your sins, you will be in His presence for all eternity. And this is the hope that we were saved in. And it's the hope that can allow us to be content with our current situations. It's the hope that can allow us to be content with a pandemic that won't go away. It's the hope that can allow us to be content with a government that seems to be going rogue. It's the hope that can allow us to be content with whatever we are dealing with in life. You know, God's word is full of a testimony of His faithfulness, or the testimony of His faithfulness. There's not a promise He has made that He hasn't kept. Starting with Abraham, you know, He promised that He would bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. You'll be a blessing to all peoples, which we see through Jesus Christ. Folks, I wish I could tell you that as we wait and as we look past our current circumstances, as we anticipate what's to come, as we are content in our current situation, I wish I could say that, you know what, if all these things take place, there'll be no more suffering for you. God's word doesn't tell us that. Whatever suffering may come our way, we can look beyond it. I believe Paul got this. Now, Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:8 would say, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul got it. He understood the moment that he took his last breath here on earth, he was going to enter into the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you take your last breath, you are going to enter into the presence of our God and into the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't remember how the conversation, Billy walked in and said, how's it going? He says, oh, okay for now, or something like that. And I think about it, and we kind of chatter back and forth, but the reality is, as believers in Jesus Christ, it's going to be okay no matter what. Paul would also say in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He saw death as a good thing. Because he understood the hope that he had in Jesus Christ. Folks, I pray that that is true of you today. I pray that you truly are looking forward to the day that Jesus calls us home. I pray that you get excited when you think about the day that you will enter into His presence for all eternity. The reality is, maybe as I asked the question this morning, maybe you're entering into this Christmas season and you have a feeling of hopelessness. You're tired of listening to the news. And if that's the case, you're in good company. If that's the case, I would just encourage you to join me, and maybe even as a church, we can just make a point of changing our focus. Stop focusing on what this world has to offer. Stop focusing on what the world is telling us. And start focusing on what we know to be true. And that is that we have hope in a risen Savior. No matter how hopeless it may appear, we have hope. A hope that was made possible when Jesus Christ left heaven over 2,000 years ago as a baby boy. And entered into life, this world as a baby boy, who would live a sinless life, who would give his life for us, would die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. You know, it's because of what Jesus has done that we can be confident in what he has promised to do. And that's the hope that you and I have this morning. Folks, my prayer this morning is this. As we've looked at this passage, that you will be able to look past your current circumstances, that you will be able to anticipate what is to come, and that you can be content and wait patiently until the Lord Jesus calls us home. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for the birth of your Son. We thank you for the hope that we have as a result of his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, I pray. You know, often we come into an auditorium like this, and we all have a smile on our face and greet one another. But the reality is, behind those smiles, often there is a lot of hurt and pain, a lot of discouragement. Lord, I pray if that's the case today, that if someone entered into this room with discouragement and pain, Lord, that you would just allow them to focus on the truths that we've seen this morning, that they would be able to focus on the hope that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that they'll leave this place encouraged and strengthened through your Spirit and able to deal with whatever circumstances are in their life. Lord, again, we thank you. We thank you for just who you are. We thank you for your love, your grace, and the mercy which you give to us each and every day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.